I use the New King James Bible. If you're here with us this morning without a scripture, there are several in the back of the room. We invite you, someone right close to you. We'll get one for you. But I'm going to share several thoughts that begin with our understanding from Scripture. Let's take a look. John 15, verse 13, out of two versions, the New King James and then the Message. Greater love, would you please read this with me? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. As we look at Memorial Day weekend, I'm reminded of the scriptures that tell us that in the last days, people will rise up who are neither grateful nor give thanks. I am dedicated in my own life, as I know you are in yours and us as a congregation, to not be counted in that mix. Instead, we will be those who will stand and give thanks, and we will stand with gratitude. Can you say amen with me?
Amen.
So much to be grateful for. We've passed through some tragic, some terrible, some interesting times in our nation. I think especially this morning of the World War II generation. It's been called the greatest generation. Strong, silent, did their job, and it was an incredible job of literally ridding the world of a demonic tyranny. And don't make any mistake, it was a demonic tyranny. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But there was a wrestling against flesh and blood that gave themselves over to that spirit as well. And our World War II generation did an incredible job of getting rid of that kind of tyranny that wanted to possess the world and made our world, our nation, free for generations. 66 years ago, on June 6th, which is coming right up, the largest amphibious war operation in human history took place. We call it D-Day. As the Allied armies fought through horrendous conditions and stormed Normandy on D-Day, 8 different navies, 6,939 vessels, 1,213 warships, 4,126 transport vessels, landing ships and landing craft, 736 ancillary craft, 864 merchant vessels. I've seen the pictures, as you probably have as well on newsreel, and it doesn't do justice of how literally full those waters must have been. It was 65 years ago, 1945, when World War II came to a close. The generation who fought and died, and also lied about their age, many of them, so they could sign up to go to war. Many of them are dying very rapidly every day. There are fewer and fewer of them left. But their war was a righteous cause. We sit here today, we stand here today on their shoulders, enjoying the freedoms gained for us. Now, I recognize that this may be a politically incorrect or incorrect, a politically unpopular message in our generation. Guess what? I don't care. I don't care because we have so much for which to be grateful. Now, the one who taught us to die for others is Jesus. Liberty is a God-given gift. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom is God's idea. And there just happened to be some people in a country who caught the vision and the spark and the interest of seeing people all around the world be set free from tyranny and from oppression, who fought, who died. Not just that generation. There was World War I. There was all sorts of wars. We'll speak of them before that. But Korea then, and Vietnam, and Grenada, and Gulf War, the war on terror, are men and women stepping up to the plate all around the world to fight and to die on our behalf. The American soldier, no matter what his or her rank and responsibility, serves around the world today. Some of you who have seen this go around, I think of such a powerful email that goes around that declares some of the things that were said to our leading generals as they would be overseas in different meetings. People being critical about the American soldier and every next action that would take place. The accusation that would come, America is just a land out for conquest. Now, American generals and people in those earshots of those conversations would look and say, we've never asked for one inch of ground, only the ground to bury our dead as we fought on your behalf to gain your freedom. And the conversations would go quiet. Each 4th of July we speak to this issue, but this morning on Memorial Day it seems very fit to remember. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11, this do in remembrance of me. We honor him as we honor them. 2 Corinthians 3:17, I've already quoted it. Say it with me, please. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Truly, again, the only freedom that comes from the Spirit of the Lord. Freedom is God's idea. And since our inception, to worship God in this land has been our liberty, our cry, and our call. He put that cry in our spirit. One more time, I'm going to say it and ask you to amen me. Jesus put that call in our spirit to be free to worship Him.
Amen.
Not perfect, but the freest country the world has known. And as we stand here in 2010, we are at the verge of losing so many of those freedoms that hundreds and hundreds of thousands have fought and died for. We're in danger. Lest we forget, let's remember what has happened. I am immensely grateful for our living vets. How many in this room are vets? Would you stand? We honor you. Come on, stand up, guys. We honor you. We thank you for your service on our behalf. So we honor our living vets.
My husband was a veteran.
There you go. Many in this room.
In the hospital for 3 months.
Oh, all right. All right, very good, Dottie. But we're thankful for those who fought, who served, who died on our behalf. Let's take a look, just to put us in remembrance. American war casualties. Now, as we look at these statistics, I want you to remember there are statistics of casualties of people who died on the battlefield, but there were other people who died in theater or not in theater, but in the service of their country on our behalf. And so these total those statistics. The American Revolution from 1775 to 1783. 4,435 battle deaths. The War of 1812, which lasted from 1812 to 1815. 2,260 died in battle. The Indian Wars from 1817 to 1898, they have an approximation of 1,000. The Mexican War from 1846 to 1848, 1,773 battle deaths, 11,550 non-theater deaths. The Civil War, which really, you know, in the whole scheme of things, guys, isn't all that long ago. The Civil War from 1861 to 1865, look at this. Nearly 500,000 lost their lives in the Civil War. The Spanish-American War, 1898 to 1902, 2,446 total deaths. World War I, 1917 to 18, 116,516. World War II, 1940 to 1945, 405,399. The Korean War, 1950 to 53, 54,246. The Vietnam War, 65 to 1975, 90,209. The Gulf War, 90 to 91. There was something like only 147. It was miraculous who died on that battlefield, but 2,094 total deaths. Battle deaths, non-theater and theater deaths, a total of 1.19 million people, men and women. When we fail or weaken in our gratitude for our daily life, when our complaint becomes louder than our gratitude, we need to stop and remember, lest we forget. The global war on terror so far, 5,000 461 as of just last week, May 22nd. There is a time when there's an appropriate rising to fight and die for our families, for our freedoms, for our country. And indeed, it's a noble cause. How many of you understand in the Revolutionary War, it was the churches where the pastors stood in the pulpits and preached the righteous cause of freedom? And the churches that have spurred on people to stand for freedom, freedom to worship. And the 60s, how many remember the cry that went out, better red than dead? Remember that? How many know it's never better red than dead? Because the first thing that goes is the liberty to worship God in freedom. It's awfully quiet in this room this morning. I'm a freedom-loving guy. How about you? 1 Samuel 17:29. Lest you think that, oh gosh, Jesus was just a pacifist. Take a look in the scriptures. And you look at the Old Testament and David versus Goliath. And here's what he said. I'm not talking about just bloody battlefields to glorify that. I'm not. David said this, and he took it a realm higher. Is there not a cause? 1 Samuel 17:29. The cause of righteousness, the cause against tyranny, the cause against taking away our liberty to worship. Now, Monday is Memorial Day. Perhaps when you were a kid, you were kind of like my grandparents, or I especially remember Gail's mom, who can't do this much anymore, I don't think, but she spent every year on Memorial Day placing flags and flowers on graves that were close by Centralia, and small American flags. And I remember, if we were over visiting at the time, we would wake up a little later in the morning, right as she was returning, having already been out for hours, to lay flowers and flags on graves and to help serve the tables to serve the people. It was very impactful to me, to my children. Memorial Day, a time to remember our loved ones who have passed away as well. At times we've passed through periods where it was unpopular to remember, but let's do so anyway. What's the history of Memorial Day? 3 years after the Civil War ended on May 5th, 1868, the head of an organization of Union veterans, the Grand Army of the Republic, it was called, established Decoration Day as a time for the nation to decorate the graves of our war dead with flowers. Major General John A. Logan declared that Decoration Day should be observed on May 30th. It's believed he chose that date because flowers would be in bloom all across the country at that point. The first large observance was held that year at Arlington National Cemetery across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. The ceremonies centered around the veranda of the Arlington Mansion. And you may not remember, but the Arlington Mansion was once the home of General Robert E. Lee. And various Washington officials, including General and Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant, presided over these ceremonies and have year by year. After speeches, the children from the Soldiers and Sailors Orphan Home and members of the GAR, the Republic honorary group, made their way through the cemetery, and they would strew flowers on Union and Confederate graves, reciting prayers and singing hymns. Many of the people, in fact, most of the people in the Civil War were even buried down south. And it was also some of the earliest celebrations were when women would go to bring flowers to the graves of the Confederate soldiers. And then one day, some of the women looked around at the Union graves that had no flowers and said they died as well, and began to put flowers on all the graves. Disturbed at the sight of the bare graves, they placed flowers on all. The official birthplace of Memorial Day was designated in 1966 by Congress and President Lyndon Johnson, declared Waterloo, New York, the birthplace of Memorial Day. There's a lot of contention about that in various places around. But this was the first place on May 5th of 1866 that honored this in an ongoing fashion. By the end of the 19th century, Memorial Day ceremonies were being held throughout the nation again on May 30th. State legislatures passed proclamations designating the day, and the Army and the Navy adopted regulations for proper observance of Memorial Day at their facilities. It wasn't until World War I that the day was expanded to honor those who have died in all American wars, and then in 1971, it was declared a national holiday by an act of Congress. though it's still often called as Decoration Day. And there's been a lot of controversy over the years, because how many remember what really took place with some of these holidays in 1971? Three day holidays, whether they are the original days or not. And so there's been a lot of consternation about that in our nation. You know, to me, the most important thing is let's take time to remember. That's what the issue is. It was also placed the last Monday in May, and General Logan's order for his post to decorate the graves in 1868 with the choicest flowers of springtime was made in these words: "We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance, lest let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or to the coming generations." Please say the next phrase with me: "that we have forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic." Incredible cost. Incredible freedom. Incredible responsibility for us. Then as now, small American flags were placed on each grave. A tradition followed at many national ceremonies. The origins of special services to honor those who died in war can be found in antiquity. Look at this. The Athenian leader from Athens of Pericles offered a tribute to the fallen heroes of the Peloponnesian War over 24 centuries ago that could be applied to the 1.1 million Americans who have died on our behalf today. Here's his words: "Not only are they commemorated by columns and inscriptions, but there dwells also an unwritten memorial of them, graven not on stone, but in the hearts of men." We don't often stop and think about it, do we? Life's full. Come on, isn't it? Life's full. Life's full. And sometimes you're sick, and sometimes you're not. And sometimes there's work to be done, and cleaning the cupboards, and doing the flowers, and inviting in the kids, and then the family, and holidays become great times to watch movies or football games, have your favorite clam dip, maybe your favorite food. But do you really stop? Do we really stop as a country and say thanks? Thank you to all those who live and have served, and especially for all those who died in that service. How many of you have relatives who died in war? Anybody? Several of you. Many of you. You take a look at some of the incredible numbers of people who have passed away, and it's hard to know that there's very few families untouched by one of those deaths. In December 2000, the Congress passed and the President signed into law the National Moment of Remembrance Act, creating the White House Commission on the National Moment of Remembrance. The National Moment of Remembrance encourages all Americans to pause wherever you are at 3 local time on Memorial Day. 3 o'clock tomorrow, no matter where you are, pause for 1 minute and give thanks. A moment of silence to remember and honor those who have died in service to the nation. Moment of Remembrance founder Camilla Lespada states, "It's a day that we can all help put the memorial back in Memorial Day, lest we forget. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." In this turmoiled time, we need to invite the Spirit of the Lord to birth liberty again in our spirit and in our country. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Please read it with me. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal, forgive their sins and heal their land." Sorry, I went on to another issue. We'll read that again before we're done. Would you pass these out, please? These are a copy of a prayer we're going to read together from Billy Graham. And it's a heart prayer of burden for our country. And I think it's worthy of us taking a moment. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Anybody in this place believe we have some sins in our country?
Yep.
Anybody in this place believe we need a land that needs healing?
Yes.
We do indeed. May I have one of those, please? Thank you. If you would share with your husband, thank you so much. Billy Graham has been a nationwide pastor for our country, if you will, an evangelist. Served to bring our country the Word of God for many, many years. He still lives. He also committed this prayer that I think it's worthy of us to join in with him and pray together. You all have one or can share one with your neighbor? Let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, "Woe to those who call evil good." But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. Lord Jesus, we come to you now, full of thanksgiving for those who have gone before us, for those who have fought on our behalf and who have died, who have given the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be free, free to complain, which we do a lot of, but we have that freedom. Most importantly, free to worship you. Lord, with enabled freedoms, freedom isn't free, it's cost and blood, sweat and tears. People giving their lives and fortunes and sacred honors to allow us to be here in liberty today to give you thanks. Now I pray, Lord Jesus, though this is a bit of a different Sunday morning, ultimately we give you thanksgiving and praise, and I pray that as we go from this room today, we'll do so with such a heart that overflows with thanksgiving. We do these things in remembrance of you and in remembrance of 1.19 million people who fought and died on our behalf. We do this in remembrance. Thanks, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you today.